Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. I'm glad she's here, too. She's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Hello.
It's good to have you back.
It's fabulous to be here.
Fabulous. That's a good word, isn't it? That's the way you describe being on my show to everybody.
Always.
When they say, how do you like being on Jim's show?
Every week.
You tell them what?
It's fabulous.
Fabulous, that's right. You know, that's a girl word, isn't it?
I think I'm watching too much Sex and the City, I'm afraid.
Guys don't say fabulous much.
No.
Or gorgeous. You ever notice that guys don't say gorgeous?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't imagine that.
And cute. If women couldn't say cute, they wouldn't be able to say a lot, would they?
Okay, so what do guys say?
Well, we say sometimes
gnarly?
Gnarly's good, or awesome,
awesome.
Yeah, awesome, man.
This is riveting conversation for your listeners.
It's taking their breath away, Joan.
Yeah.
Joan, if the economy, and I'm reading this right off the letter, folks, so don't think that I'm this smart. If the economy is growing solidly, why don't more Americans feel it?
Well, we've got a whole bunch of reasons why, although I can probably tell you that people are probably worrying about inflation and oil prices and the price they're paying at the gas pump.
They're not worried about inflation. Even though inflation is part of their lives, Joan, I don't think that that's where they're, I think that there's, like you talked about gas prices, there are certain elements of our lives that are just going through the roof so much that those things are taking our breath away. And so, you know, inflation.
Right. Well, I don't mean they sit around worrying about the inflation rate, but
right.
they see health care costs continuing to go up, gasoline prices, home heating prices going up, air conditioning, all of that.
Interest rates.
And interest rates. And all those wonderful folks who took out home equity lines of credit, which is different
mortgages.
From a fixed rate home equity loan, those lines of credit are going up and up and up.
Yeah, those payments are starting to come in higher than they were the previous month or the previous year, aren't they?
Right, exactly.
And that's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. So I really though, Joan, am distressed by your use of a word here.
Okay.
You guys included a word that I really wish you had left in the 70s. Tell the audience. I don't even want to say it.
Oh, well, we said that there's a malaise among folks, and then we explain what the reasons are. Now, what's your problem?
Well, when I see malaise,
you've got a malaise about the word malaise.
Well, that's exactly right, because all I can think about is one of the darkest times in the history of America, when we had President Carter. Perhaps the worst president in the history of the country. And
well, who managed to sabotage himself completely by using that word.
Exactly. No, there's no question about it. I mean, if there's one thing we expect of our presidents is to be hopeful. You know, we expect our presidents that's what the alpha leaders have to do, Joan. You know this. You know, even if, you know, you can't be dishonest with your folks. You can't be phony with your folks. But at least you have to be the most positive person in the group.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I'd use the word hopeful. I'd use the word upbeat, because you might have to be Winston Churchill telling people they've got to make a lot of sacrifices.
Right.
But you can still be motivational and strong about it.
And tell people that you believe in them.
Yeah.
Which obviously they have. There's plenty of reason to believe in us. And so, anyway, that's the reason why I wish you guys had called me. I would have counseled you out of this word.
Well, gosh,
I actually don't see that, though. I don't.
You do not see a malaise.
No,
okay.
I think malaise is. I think that's a floor below the basement that we haven't gotten to yet.
Okay.
And I don't think we're there yet. I think look, Joan, look what happened in the first quarter. Tell the audience what the gross domestic product was in the first quarter of this year.
Well, in the first quarter, It's almost 5%, 4.8%, which we call blazing. How do you feel about that word?
Well, I like that word. And the thing, thing is, Joan, is that that was the first quarter. I mean, for any first quarter to be almost 5% is nuts. But of course, we had a really abysmal fourth quarter in 2005, didn't we?
That's true. That's
and so
true.
Maybe there was pent-up demand. Maybe a bunch of stuff rolled over. It didn't get counted in the fourth quarter. What? Who knows what happened? I think what we've got to do, Joan, is we've got to average those two.
And the other thing, too, is we say that we think growth will hit 3.3% for the rest of the year, which we call solid, and that certainly is.
And isn't that a little bit higher than your prediction of, say, a month or so ago? What you're saying, 3% about a month or so ago?
I think so, right.
So we're up a little bit. So see, we got an anti-malaise trend going on.
Okay.
But there are things.
But that's our point, that there are good solid fundamental figures, but there is a sense that folks may not be seeing that or feeling that in their own lives.
Right. Well, and here's why I'm going to defer to you just a little bit.
Oh.
The use of that word, but I still not doesn't justify the word, and that is. It's very painful, though. It's beyond painful for some folks. Some folks, it's prohibitive when they fill up their gas tank.
Sure is.
Because, what was it, a year ago, gas was like 50% of where it is right now?
I think so.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago when it was about $1 a gallon.
I mean, if you've got a 20-gallon tank in your Taurus, let's say, your 1995 Taurus has got a, you know exactly how much money you're going to make this every month because
and
you're on salary.
And that's not a big SUV.
No, it's not.
That's just a regular old car.
And it gets pretty good mileage. Gets, you know, over 20 miles a gallon. You got 20 gallons of gas to fill up. That's a $60, that may be a $60 fill up for you.
Right.
And a year ago, that was a $30 fill up.
Yeah.
And for a lot, and now you're going to do that. Let's say you're going to do that three times this month. Well, Joan, that's $90.
Jeez.
That's a budget buster for a lot of families.
Wait, it's 180, I think.
Well, no, three times. No, I'm talking about the difference between last year and this year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah.
The difference, the $30 is $90. That is a budget buster for a lot of families. Not just families with kids, but single families.
Right.
And so that's what's putting people, moving them possibly one day in the faraway future toward the M word. The M word. I won't say it.
Oh, the M word.
Yeah.
Not marriage.
No, you can say it, but I won't say it.
I won't say it either.
Because when Carter said it, I swore I'd never say it again.
Okay.
Anyway, 20 after, we're going to come right back and talk about this a little bit more. We got some politics to talk about. We're going to talk about what's going on with the airlines, and is that going to cost you more in the future? And a lot of other good stuff right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride. And Joan, one of the things I wanted to talk about with regard to how the economy is going, just, you know, if you take some of the fundamentals, and I'm going to let you use that word again in a minute. I guess I don't mind you saying it. I just don't want to say it because I don't think it's real. But when you take the fundamentals of the economy. The U.S. economy is going to... I heard one economist this week say the U.S. economy might hit $13 trillion. The GDP might hit $13 trillion this year.
Gee.
Now, that's up from 10.5 only about 3 years ago. That's huge. That's huge. That's just monstrous.
Yeah.
Even in the face of manufacturing jobs going overseas, even in the face of all the of record high gas prices, even in the face of inflation perking up, even though it's still below 3%, even in the face of interest rates rising, and et cetera, et cetera. Fundamentally, there is nothing to be upset about in the United States marketplace, in my opinion, but there are challenges. gas prices are a challenge. Interest rates are a challenge.
Yes.
We do have to keep an eye on inflation. But, Joan, and one of the other fundamentals that I didn't mention just now is we're approaching record unemployment rates, low unemployment rates. Some communities, some regions, like, you know, like South Florida and Maryland, for the entire state of Maryland, has got like a 3.5% unemployment rate. South Florida does too. I mean, it's just some parts of the country are just clicking on all eight cylinders. These are good things that create challenges.
Well, another good thing, I'm just wondering if that kind of a fundamental is so good, you know, people have jobs and are spending money, does that give small businesses more pricing power than they might have had?
There's no question
okay.
about it. Which as long as we have pricing power, see, that pricing power is the counterbalance to inflation, right?
Well, it can also drive inflation, though.
Well, what it eventually does. But
yeah.
The thing is, as long as you have some kind of an outlet, when you get pricing,
oh, I see what you're saying.
When you get pressure from underneath for the purchases yeah. that you have to make,
mm-hmm.
upward pressure on costs, and you have no way to let some of that steam off, then yeah, you got some serious pressure on that small business. But when you can let it go, the problem that small business owners have, Joan, is we wait too long to raise our prices, and we don't do it incrementally. See, we should be charging. People should be seeing something that cost $3.95 last year. Today should be $4.06. You know what I mean? $4.09
yeah.
or so. We should be more incremental. We don't do a good job of raising prices incrementally as our costs go up incrementally.
Right.
And then when we decide we have to raise prices, then we go to $4.95 instead of $3.95, and that makes customers go, "Wow, what's going on here?"
I see.
So no, I think that there are plenty. There is a truckload of challenges that small business owners and other and all of us consumers too. There are plenty of challenges, but many of those challenges are created by good news.
That's true.
Like inflation.
Yes.
Inflation is good news because of payrolls are going up, right? Nothing bad about payrolls going up, but it is inflationary.
Well, you know, it's funny how all intertwined all of this is. I guess I'm being Miss Glass Half Empty right now. But when I hear payrolls are going up, it means more money out of the business owner's pocket to pay people.
But the thing about it, though, see, Joan, you're exactly right, except that's a challenge.
Right.
And that doesn't create the M word. Go ahead and tell them what I mean by that.
You mean the malaise word?
Yeah, that doesn't create that. It doesn't create that condition. It creates
right.
challenges. And Joan, you and I were reporting on this show 4 years ago, 3 years ago, when business was bad, the only good news was interest rates were low and petroleum was low. Think about that, Joan. When we were reporting on how the economy was, we had high unemployment. We had, you know, we were reeling and recovering from 9/11 and from other things that were going on. If you ask any small business owner, all right, petroleum was low, interest rates were low, what would you take? Would you take those days or these days?
Oh,
they
would I
take
see.
These days in a minute.
Okay.
In a heartbeat. No question about it.
Because okay.
where there is activity, you can create things. You can make things. When customers aren't coming in the door, you can't do anything about that.
Right. Well, that's true.
You can't. That's the way the economy works. And so
right.
I do think, though, Joan, that we do have some serious challenges.
Yes.
And you've heard rumors about gas prices going up even more.
That's right. And that's a huge challenge.
It'll be ugly, and
I'm afraid so.
Yeah, it'll be, and at some point there is a tipping point on the petroleum thing, right? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what that number is.
And when you say tipping point, do you mean the effect on the economy?
Well, yeah,
when
people finally say this is just too much, I'm staying home.
But you know, there are people who cannot say that. There are people who have to drive to their jobs. What
right.
do they do?
Well, here's another thing. I mean, at some point in time, employers are going to have to start making, you know, giving folks petroleum adjustments or something, some kind of,
right,
you know, fuel adjustments for the travel, because it's, yeah, it has gone up a lot. All right, stand by. Quick break. We're going to be right back. We're going to move on to some other topics right after these messages. Stay with us. It's 29 after. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. There's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And my blog. Don't forget, I've got a blog, and it's not like anybody else's blog. And you can come and get it, or we'll send it to you. And don't forget all the other things that you can do there. And everything is free. Use it to your little heart's content. Everything's free except for the books. We ask you to pay for those things, and we appreciate it when you do. Joan Pride, let's move over to page 2 and talk about a little politics and the economy. Now, I will use this word because the worst president in the history of America didn't use this word. I'm talking about Jimmy Carter. I don't mind saying that. I think he was the worst president in the history. The economic angst, Kiplinger says, is bound to hurt the GOP at the polls. Well, Joan, I take issue with that terminology with you, for you guys as well, because I don't think we've got economic angst. I think we've got gas price angst, which is enough. I mean, I think your point is well taken. I just don't think, I still refuse to connect it to any kind of an overall pall that's been cast over the economy. Not yet, at least, anyway. If gasoline goes to $4 or $5 a gallon, that's going to be a tipping point.
Right.
But your point is well taken. It will hurt the incumbent party, won't it?
Well, and situations like this always do, because as we've always said, people tend to vote their pocketbooks.
Yep. Yep. And Americans have this idea. We've come to have this idea, Joan, that if there's something wrong, one of two things, we leap to one or two decisions, and that is our conclusions, and that is the government did it wrong, and that's the reason we have this, or the government should have fixed this, and they didn't.
Which is ironic, because the people who vote in the majority party, and there must be plenty of them out there, I thought were interested in smaller government.
Well, not only that.
And the free marketplace.
Right. Well, we clearly, Republican or Democrat, Joan, we clearly don't have smaller government.
Well, that's true. I mean, but that's right. But it's just interesting that that is, like you say, people's knee-jerk reaction.
It is our hope that that would happen, but it's not. It's,
yeah,
not. We don't actually have that. But the point that I guess I'm making is that the Americans, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Mugwump, whatever their affiliation, Joan, Americans just seem to say, if, you know, for example, like Katrina. Now, I know the government didn't respond well to Katrina, but it wasn't the Republicans or the Democrats' fault that Katrina was so bad. I mean, you can go back and blame people for decades on why New Orleans got hurt so badly. But
there is a legitimate question, I mean, and you could answer this one way or the other, but there is a question that needs to be asked as to whether the government's response was too slow and whether there were problems within the government that led to that slow response, if
right,
you believe there was a slow response.
No, and I think there was a slow response. I do think that there was, and that there's plenty of people to blame for that. But I guess what I'm getting at
We're getting way off point. I want to talk about what's in the letter here. This is fascinating.
No, I know. that's where I am. I'm just saying that you say that it's going to hurt the GOP in the fall.
Yeah.
If a Democrat was in the White House right now and was in charge of Congress, and gas prices were high, it would hurt them.
That's
because
true.
Because we expect politicians to save us.
Well, let's get to the result here. I'm anxious to get to the result.
Well, I can't wait. Go ahead.
Well, now this is interesting. We say Democrats will pick up seats in Congress, and I presume by that we mean both the House and the Senate. Now,
yeah,
We're there's a little subtle difference here. I think the last time we wrote about this, we said there was no way the Democrats would gain control of either House of Congress. Now we're saying probably not enough to gain a majority.
Right.
So I think we're softening that a little bit, although we're not predicting anybody taking over either house yet.
All right. Now, here's what you know, Joan, that the petroleum experts admit, one did this week on this show, admitted that clearly one-fifth, if not almost a third, of the price of petroleum right now is because of speculation.
Yes.
Not supply and demand.
Right.
So let's say that over the next 4 months, the Iraqi government settles, gets in place, and Iraq settles down, and things cool off in the Middle East, and there's not as much speculation and petroleum. And as you know, it could drop to $40 a barrel quickly. What would that do? We're going to get Joan to answer that question on the other side of these messages. I think that would turn this prediction upside down. Point yourself. Stay with us.
I don't care where it goes. Gonna climb a mountain. Shake it up, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Twist that sound.
Twist that sound.
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
Come on and work it on out.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, give us your website, please.
Right. Our web address is www.kiplinger.com.
And that's K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R. It's a good site, by the way,
right,
folks. A lot of good free stuff there. But if you want to get back into where they've got a lot more details, you can subscribe. And they'll also send you their publications, which you can get by email or by mail.
That's right.
The weekly flagship Kiplinger letter. And the biweeklies are the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the California letter. And, Joan, there's a magazine, too.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And you've seen it on newsstands. You can subscribe to it, too. Ask for the 30-day free trial, which is always good, and they'll be glad to give that to you. And, heck, they might even if you don't ask. But go ahead and ask anyway.
Absolutely.
And there's a phone number they can call to subscribe, too.
Oh, right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Joan, I'm going to make a prediction.
Uh-oh.
If gas prices are above $65 a barrel, and there still is no seeming good direction happening in Iraq by the voting by election day in November, the Republicans will clearly lose seats in both houses, maybe even a majority.
That's not much of a prediction with having a maybe in there.
Okay, all
you've
right.
Already got an if.
No, I only maybe the majority thing. I said they definitely will lose seats,
namby-pamby.
But below those numbers, if the progress is happening in Iraq, and if it looks like things have settled down some, and petroleum prices get to 60, below 65,
yeah,
certainly 60 or even lower, then I think all this will change. I think it'll turn on those two issues. What do you think?
I'm thinking here.
Yeah, because you don't want to say I'm right. That would hurt too much.
Oh gosh, no, that would kill me.
While you're thinking, let's talk about some of the travel issues that are going on. Higher airline costs are coming this fall, you say, and I say that airline has already sailed. He's already taken off. It's already taken off.
There's a mixed metaphor. Yeah.
There you go. those prices have already happened, Joan. I hope you're not talking about more high prices.
Well, no. I guess we were talking specifically for big companies that use these global booking systems.
Oh, yeah.
Which include Sabre, Worldwide, and Galileo.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the new contracts are boosting prices. But we do say that all is not lost, because you can get cheaper prices by going to individual airlines, or you could try going to one of the discount websites.
We go directly to the airlines.
Yeah, that's what I usually do.
We do business directly on the airlines website.
Right.
We
right.
print our tickets off, and guess what? We check in early. We do online check-in.
Yes.
Check-in, I should say.
Yes.
That's handy as a pocket on a shirt,
it's
Joan.
Great.
especially, Joan, if you're not going to be there, you know, there's the deal where if you're not there by 30 minutes or 45 minutes, depending on the airport,
yeah,
if you don't check in, you don't get on the airplane. I mean, I literally slid in one day, and I was standing there fumbling to get to the kiosk, and looked up, and the clock struck a half an hour before the flight left. The people, I was the only customer. The people in the desk were watching me, and they saw that I was there. I just couldn't get my credit card into the little slot.
Yeah.
But it literally was like, you know, tick, 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 have you heard from the governor, you know, that kind of thing.
So what happened? Did you get...
They said, come on over, we'll take care of it, because they knew I was there. But, I mean, if I'd walked in 30 seconds later, I wouldn't have got on the airplane.
Right, that's right.
But you can do online check-in now.
That's right.
Go ahead and get your card and just walk in. It saves you a lot of time.
That's right.
And so that's not what you guys were talking about here. But the thing is, though, is that we're talking about how to save money with the higher costs and how to make things a little easier for you. Airlines prices have gone up a lot in the last 6 months.
They really have.
Some flights that we take have doubled.
Doubled?
Yes.
Gee.
Like to Washington, D.C.?
Wow.
Those flights, those tickets have doubled.
Wow, that's amazing.
And you know what, Joan? We probably didn't pay enough for the other flights. The 6-8 months ago, we probably didn't pay enough. And so, you know, I remember getting some of those tickets and thinking that...
you know, if you say that publicly, those airlines may go back in their files and say, he wants to pay more for those old flights, we'll send him a bill.
They could be like the Exxon guys yesterday said, you know, we don't make any apologies for what we charge for gas. We're going to charge as much as we can. That's not good PR, Joan. That was not a good move, I don't think.
No.
Joan, what about foreign workers? Are we going to continue to have a stagnation in getting, or I guess a stalemate is the word you guys use, in getting the high-tech workers from overseas in?
Well, unfortunately, I have to say yes. And as your listeners probably know, we're talking about the H-1B visa that allows employers to bring in skilled workers that they may very desperately need for particular jobs. Now, the problem here is that a lot of times Congress will just go ahead and increase the number of H-1B visas allowed in a given year. But this year, that's kind of being held, not held hostage, but sort of delayed because it would move along with an overall immigration bill.
Yeah, hopefully this will get included in the immigration bill.
Well, if there is an immigration bill,
we sure need one, Joan. I'll tell you.
Oh, I agree.
We got a mess here.
Yeah, we do.
We got a big mess.
And boy, you know, boy, do we need leadership on this issue.
And you know what, Joan? I don't think there is a lot of leadership in Washington, D.C.
In either party.
Exactly. No, I'm completely with you on that.
Right.
It's a little scary, Joan, when Joan and I agree on things. But on that one, we do. 10 till. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about what the Fed's going to do. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, you need to alert the media and the authorities. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. next week.
Uh-oh.
Next Thursday and Friday, actually going over on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be up there helping the SBA, not the SBA, did that last month, helping the U.S. Chamber celebrate their Small Business Week.
Hey, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to be moderating a panel there on Friday, and I'm looking forward to all of that. And so Washington, D.C., get ready. I'm coming to see you.
Uh-oh.
Joan, let's move over and talk about interest rates.
I'd rather not.
I know. Well, the thing is that interest rates are already, the prime interest rate is already 7.75%.
Wow.
And I don't know what the Fed's going to do. I predicted, and you did too, that they're going to go to 5 with Fed funds making prime 8.
Yeah.
Some people say they're going to go up another quarter point, that they're not going to stop the next time. But regardless, Joan, the die is cast to a degree. The level that we have right now is already causing a rough ride for some folks, isn't it?
Boy, there's no question about that.
For some banks. Tell us how it hurts banks.
Well, Well, we're saying that the higher interest rates, now you would think this is great for them because then they can make loans that with higher rates, but the higher interest rates also squeeze profit margins.
Right.
Because they have to offer better interest rates on deposits. And then the other problem is they get stuck with more problem loans because consumers
right.
have more difficulty paying back those loans.
They get defaults.
Right.
And Joan, here's the way it is with banks on their margins. Of course, folks, as you know, they borrow, they loan the money that you get deposit with them, basically. And in your savings and your checking accounts, that's what they loan to a large degree. And Joan, the amount of money that they loan money at, the interest rate they loan money at, what they charge, there is a lid on that. There is a ceiling out there, and it's what people actually can afford to pay. And beyond which they won't make the loan. They'll be able to make their loans.
Right.
And so they can creep up on that lid from any level. And but you know, if they're paying 4% for money and they're loaning it at 9%, then they can make a lot of money, right?
Right, exactly.
But if they have to pay 6%, they still may not be able to charge more than say 9.5, because people can't pay more than 9.5.
Exactly.
So then they're squeezed. They get squeezed. Now, not that I lay awake crying or worrying about whether banks make money. Don't
Me
worry.
Neither.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry about your banks. They're okay. They're not having any trouble.
We want them to be okay because instability in the banking system would just ruin this economy.
But it does cause them, Joan, you're right. How it affects you and me, what happens to banks, is in their interest in loaning us money, their appetite. For loaning us money, their appetite for working with small business owners, their attitude, if they're being squeezed, profits are being squeezed, they're going to be a little less likely to take a risk on a small business.
Well, that's true.
And that's what bothers me. I don't lay awake worrying about banks, but I do lay awake worrying about their attitude, how they feel about whether they're thinking about the M word or if they've got any angst or whatever.
Well, are you saying that there's a possibility of a small business credit crunch in the future?
There is that possibility. I don't think, and you guys talked about this week in your letter, I think that there's a possibility. I don't think it's all that likely. But Joan, there's a Bible verse that says, the father ate sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge.
Ooh.
Now, that applies to banks and small business owners.
Okay.
When the banks experience sour grapes, sometimes that creates, you know, that puts small businesses' teeth on edge. It makes it whatever, however happy, however sad a banker is, typically affects small businesses.
So if a banker sneezes, a small business owner might catch a cold.
That's another good one.
I just made that up.
We can go on and on with these folks, by the way. but we won't. You'll be glad to know.
We can't.
Absolutely. We're almost out of time. Joan, price gouging by gas companies over on page 4, real quickly. What do you guys say?
Well, what we're saying is that politicians are making a lot of noise about it, but there isn't a whole lot that government can do.
Yep. Joan, it's, you know, I'm a capitalist, no question about it, but it does seem awfully interesting to me that record prices and record profits seem to come at the same time.
Just a coincidence.
What's wrong with that picture?
You know,
you got to think about that. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jim. We'll do this
in Washington next week.
I'm ready.
Thanks. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.